Friday, March 20th. The first reading from Wisdom chapter 2, verses 1 and 12 through 22. The wicked said among themselves, thinking not aright, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. He professes to have knowledge of God, and styles himself a child of the Lord. To us he is the censure of our thoughts. Merely to see him is a hardship for us, because his life is not like that of others, and different are his ways. He judges us debased, and holds aloof from our paths as from things impure. He calls blessed the destiny of the just, and boasts that God is his father. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, he will defend him and deliver him from the hands of his foes. With revilement and torture let us put him to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. Haydock Commentary. Infidels are not content to live in riot, they also persecute the just. This passage points out the conduct of the Jews toward our Savior in so striking a manner that some would think it was altered by some Christian. But the fathers adduce it as a clear prediction of the Jewish malice in Matthew 27:41 and Mark 14:53. The prophet spoke to sinners in the name of God, and many of them lost their lives in the cause. Christ appeared as a new star to promote their welfare, yet this only serves to irritate them. The disbelief of mysteries leads to a dissolute life and to the persecution of the just. The pagans knew not the advantages of suffering, and even the apostles were ignorant of the mystery of the cross till after the resurrection. The Gospel from John chapter 7, verses 1, 2, 10, and 25 through 30. Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea, because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from, yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him, because his hour had not yet come. Haydock Commentary. This was the festival of tabernacles on which the Jews made tents in imitation of those which were their habitations during their sojournment in the wilderness for 40 years. See Leviticus 23:34. The Jews called it a festival day, though it consisted not of one, but of many days successively. But why does he ascend to the festival day when he said previously he would not? He did not say, "I will not ascend," but only, "I do not ascend," that is, "I do not ascend in your company." So says St. John Chrysostom. Or, "I do not go up to this festival," namely, the first or second day of the feast, which lasted 8 days, and to which you wish me to ascend, "but I go afterwards, when the first part of the festival day was over." So says St. Augustine. We know where this man is from. They looked upon him as no more than a man, and they thought they knew his father to be St. Joseph, they knew his mother and kindred. But when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Thus said some of the people, but doubtless the more learned knew Christ was to be born at Bethlehem. The Jews had imbibed this opinion of the secrecy of the origin of Christ from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, "Who shall relate his generation?" But they likewise were acquainted with many other texts of Scripture relative to the Messiah, which plainly point out the place of his birth, namely Bethlehem, and also the place of his residence, when it is said, "He shall be called a Nazarene." His generation is indeed unknown with regard to his divinity, as Christ himself told the Jews in his answer, "He is true that sent me, but you know him not." But as to his humanity, his origin is well known. "You know me, and whence I am you know." So says St. Augustine. "You know me as man, and where I have been educated. But him that sent me, from whom I proceeded, and who sent me into this world as its Redeemer, you know not, because you know not that he was always, and from all eternity, my eternal Father, and I his eternal Son.